It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Not enough people getting mortgage help.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The Congressional Oversight Panel has released a report this morning saying federal mortgage aid programs aren't doing enough. Joining me to talk about the report is the head of the Congressional Budget Panel, Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be here.
So according to the report, the Obama administration's mortgage aid program isn't as effective as they hoped it would be. Tell me a little bit about what's going on.
Well, we anticipate, based on the Treasury's own assumptions, that it may reach about a million families and get them into permanent modifications from which they really do save their homes. In other words, not lose them on down the line. And that's a fairly modest number when we compare it against the 6 million families that are currently 60 days past due and facing the possibility of foreclosure, and the 200,000 families that are posted for foreclosure every single month.
Why has it stayed so small relative to the number of families that need help?
We actually have six different programs for mortgage modification, but some of those programs will not be having an impact for a year or more. It's really a problem of having brought in smaller programs that just weren't good enough to get the job done.
What is the best way to proceed, in your opinion? What's the best solution to help as many families as possible, as soon as possible?
What we want to do here is remind people first that this is a very necessary part of TARP. Back a year and a half ago, when Congress passed the TARP, they said, you know, this is not money just to run out and bail out Wall Street banks. This is money to deal with troubled assets. It's money to deal with mortgages that are in trouble. And it said the way we will measure the effectiveness of this program is its impact on unemployment, its impact on family savings, and principally its impact on foreclosures. And so part of this report is a reminder that we still have a very substantial foreclosure problem. Quite frankly, we're concerned that dealing with mortgage foreclosure has simply not been a priority.
Elizabeth Warren heads up the Congressional Oversight Panel. She's also a professor at Harvard Law School. Elizabeth, thanks for talking with us this morning.
Thank you.
The markets are looking good this Wednesday morning. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at an 18-month high, 11,019. This morning, London's FTSE is up 0.4%. Germany's DAX also up 0.4%. Tokyo's Nikkei Index rose 0.3%. Some very bad news for one major Japanese company, or more bad news. Toyota has stopped production of a Lexus SUV. Jeremy Hobson explains.
The vehicle in question is the Lexus GX 460. The magazine Consumer Reports tested the SUV and found a rollover possibility when sudden turns are made at high speeds. It slapped a "Do Not Buy" label on the vehicle, something it's only done one other time in the last decade. Toyota will do its own testing, but Paul Newton, an auto industry analyst at IHS Global Insight, says amid all of this, Toyota does seem to have a Teflon quality with consumers.
Do we actually believe Toyota create substandard products that are dangerous, or do we think that this is a blip in their history? And if you look at the way that they've responded to their latest incentives, it seems to me that they're looking at it and saying this is a bit of a blip.
But Newton says an issue like this is likely to have a bigger impact on sales in the luxury car market than it would have if it involved a mass market vehicle. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering Go to My PC, allowing users to work from anywhere via the web. More at gotomypc.com/market. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Bathrooms and carry-on bags seem to be the latest targets of airlines' cost-cutting schemes. Last week, Ryanair announced plans to rip out two of the three toilets on some planes to add seats. This week, CEO Michael O'Leary says that might not fly. Brett Neely has more.
Right now, Ryanair planes carry a maximum of 189 passengers. That's all the Federal Aviation Administration allows. Adding more seats could slow down evacuating passengers in an emergency, so it might not be allowed. But O'Leary suggested Boeing, which supplies Ryanair's entire fleet, isn't being helpful enough. Last year, Ryanair backed out of buying more 737s because Boeing wouldn't cut its prices.
Now I think Boeing is probably understandably reluctant to going along so that Ryanair can have additional seats to sell.
That's Richard Abulafia, aviation analyst at the Thiel Group. He says O'Leary is desperate to show that the company is all about nickel and diming to lower ticket prices. But he says O'Leary is also brilliant at making outrageous proposals, like pay toilets and standing room only seats.
I think Ryanair has found a fantastic way of generating publicity.
Boeing wouldn't comment on the record. And I couldn't leave a message at Ryanair's Dublin headquarters because there was no voicemail. Maybe they're skimping on that, too. I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
And finally, Forbes has released its list of the 15 wealthiest fictional characters. Notably absent, Uncle Sam. He topped the list last year but lost his spot because of inflation worries and debt. Replacing him is Twilight's vampire patriarch Carlisle Cullen, worth an estimated $34 billion. I guess it helps to have a few hundred years to let your investments mature. Beverly Hillbilly Jed Clampett snagged the number 5 spot thanks to high oil prices. Those, by the way, are at about $84 a barrel this morning. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.